weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 8 Central. Start your day with TV One's News One Now, the only daily news show that looks at issues from our perspective. And joining us right now, my man, Roland Martin. What's going on, Ro?
Skip, Jackie, Damon, what's happening?
Ain't nothing going on.
Of course, it is the day before Thanksgiving, and surely glad to be here. Headed to Houston. Looking forward to seeing my Texas A&M Aggies beat those LSU Tigers on tomorrow. And shout out to everybody that's going to be at the, of course, the Bayou Classic as well in New Orleans. All right, folks, we still continue to have lots of dialogue as it relates to what took place in Ferguson last night. More than 40 folks were arrested. But we also had the spontaneous protests taking place all across the country, shutting down highways, bridges, you name it, New York City, Boston, Los Angeles, Dallas, 13, 15 different cities where you had this spontaneous protest, and it was great to see folks step out there and show their activism. But still lots of questions being raised with regards to the grand jury, as well as how prosecuting attorney Bob McCulloch, how he worked this case. Joining me right now is legal analyst Midwin Charles. And Midwin, going through this testimony of Darren Wilson, it is stunning. It is stunning to see the ineptness of this prosecuting attorney. In fact, yesterday, Ben Crump and others at a news conference said a first-year law student could have done better. And I'm going to ask you this here, Midwin. This is very interesting. So in volume one of the grand jury testimony, on page 9, lines 15 through 25, McCulloch says that he gave the grand jury everything, including, quote, statements that are floating around on the internet, and nobody knows who's making that statement. Why in the hell would a DA give a grand jury testimony that cannot be corroborated, that literally he pulled off of the internet?
Because that DA does not want an indictment. I mean, you just can't get around that. But good morning, Roland. Good morning, everybody. This is what a district attorney does when they don't want an indictment. I mean, this is a classic how not to get an indictment move. The entire process from day one has been this way, and I've been saying all along on CNN and MSNBC that I would be very surprised if this grand jury came back with an indictment, and I was right. I was right. Not only did he present everything to the grand jury, including the kitchen sink, which you never do. As a prosecutor, you focus the information that you give the grand jury. You don't inundate them with information. You focus it. It's narrowly tailored, and it only focuses on the information that shows that this person probably committed a crime. I've got to let your listeners understand that probable cause is such a low standard. I mean, people get indicted all day, every day on absolutely no evidence. The fact that this lasted this long, 25 days over the course of 3 months, 60 witnesses, 3 different autopsies, you never, ever see that in a grand jury proceeding, even in cases that are complex. That's something I've been saying all along. This is not a complex case, Roland. It involves one man who pulled the trigger 7 times, and it involves another young man who died, and perhaps some forensic evidence and some physical evidence and a few witnesses. That's it. You know, when you're looking at other cases, for example, you know, I've had experience with federal crime cases. When you're looking at cases that are complex, I'm talking multiple defendants, I'm talking conspiracy charges, you don't even see 60 witnesses in those kind of grand jury proceedings. I mean, they get out.
Well, what also was interesting is that in terms of how he conducted this grand jury, not only that, he comes out and makes this statement. So he releases all this information. And knowing full well the Department of Justice is considering their own case, knowing full well the family could potentially file a civil suit, he literally has given Darren Wilson's defense team everything.
Yeah, which is, again, you rarely see that in a grand jury, at least at this stage. What he's essentially done in this process, in this grand jury process, is pretty much put on a trial. He put in incriminating evidence before the grand jury, and he put in exculpatory evidence. Exculpatory evidence meaning evidence that suggests the innocence of Darren Wilson. I don't understand why any prosecutor would do that at this stage, because all you are looking to do, all you were looking for the grand jury to decide, is that a crime probably happened. And the fact that he was unarmed, the fact that he died over 100 feet away from the police cruiser that Darren Wilson was in, and the fact that you have several witnesses that say he had his hands up, that's enough. And
well, he didn't even challenge a lot of the inconsistencies coming from Darren Wilson. And also, let's keep in mind, Darren Wilson had, I mean, you look at testimony, he did not do an initial report right after the shooting. He literally had 6 weeks to, in a sense, concoct his version of what took place.
That's right. And the lapse of protocol, the lapse of following rules and standard operating procedures in this case is stunning. It is absolutely stunning, not only with Darren Wilson, but with everybody else. I read the testimony also where the medical examiner showed up and did not take photographs because the batteries had died in the camera.
Right.
That is absolutely unacceptable. But I'll tell you one thing, though, that I find that I think is interesting about those kinds of facts, that this sort of lapse of protocol, is this is where the federal government might step in and investigate the procedures of this police department. And if they find that these sort of procedures are widespread when it comes to cases that involve African Americans, then you might start to see federal charges and abuses of civil rights. So I think that these sort of lapses in protocol and in standard operating procedure, I think, are glaring. I think they're obvious. And the federal government should be paying attention with respect to the violation of the civil rights of the people of Ferguson.
And let's be real clear, Bob McCulloch is a Democrat elected there. Governor Jay Nixon in Missouri, a Democrat. I'm making that point because this is not about a Republican versus a Democrat thing. And so people need to understand that. Bob McCulloch also ran for DA this year unopposed. He was reelected to a four-year term in November, and it is shameful how he has conducted this investigation. I do not, frankly, I don't believe anything that he says. I don't believe that he was serious about looking out for the public, looking out for, he literally put Mike Brown on trial, and then he trashed nearly every single witness, and so he's basically told the public, "Hey, don't believe any of these people because they all changed their stories."
That's right. That's right. And when you look at the prosecutor who asked Darren Wilson the question, it was like a hey, you know, good old boys club, you know, do you want a cup of coffee? I mean, that was the tenor of the question. It wasn't aggressive. It didn't get at the truth. You know, what do you mean he grabbed for your gun? Well, where was the gun? Was it holstered? Was it in your pocket? Was it in the back? Was it on the seat? You know, when you are a prosecutor and you are trying to get an indictment and you put the person that you're investigating on the stand, you go after them aggressively. You have to really point out those inconsistencies that are in that person's statement.
Right.
And he hasn't done that. And the fact that he only focused on, but they did go aggressive. That's the irony. Is that they were aggressive with the witnesses that they didn't like what they had to say. And so when you start to see that sort of inconsistency in aggressiveness, you have to ask yourself, did he even want an indictment?
Gotcha.
Bob McCulloch strode out there that night and sounded like a defense attorney.
Totally out of time. I certainly appreciate it. Thank you so very much for breaking it down for us. Mitwin Charles right here on the Tom Joyner Morning Show. Folks, you have a great Thanksgiving.
You have a great Thanksgiving yourself there, Roland.
Thank you
very much. Very good information. We appreciate it. Got to keep those conversation lines open, too, and peaceful protests around the country.